You're listening to Four Seas One Family, episode 78. Welcome to Four Seas One Family, the podcast where expats, immigrants, and migrants can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm so glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey, and welcome to the show. Nearly every expat has an inspiring yet personal story to explain why they decided to live abroad. We are happy to have Meg and Rob along with their fur baby Jack on the podcast today. Hear how the couple decided to unclutter their living space and leave behind their fulfilling yet sometimes burdensome lifestyle in South Africa to explore the world. Listen to how they are doing this in real time while at the same time inspiring others to do the same. So without any further ado, let's listen to the interview. Hello, Meg. Hello, Rob. How are you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys? How are you doing?
How are you doing, Rob?
Yeah, brilliant, James. How are you doing?
Tell everybody where you're coming to us from.
Dublin, Ireland.
And where's home for you guys?
We're originally from South Africa.
And what brought you over to Ireland of all places? I mean,
I think the start of that story is always... It's always a bit complex, but we got married in 2015, and we were on our honeymoon in South Africa, and we were just sort of lying on the side of a beach one day. And when you're on a honeymoon, you kind of, you know, you're talking about like where you want to go in life and what you want to try achieve. And we both sort of came to the agreement that we would really like to try spend some part of our life living in a different country and experiencing a different part of the world. And so on that basis, we started trying to figure out which parts of the world, based on kind of what we do as with our work experience and where we would like to go and what we would like to do, which is namely experience a new culture, but also have a good opportunity to travel and see other parts of the world and have a good base to travel from. And through that process, we picked a bunch of countries that we thought would be a good spot for that. And then once we had those areas kind of mapped out, then we started to kind of look for jobs and see and really try to sort of hone down where some opportunities were. And fortunately, Dublin was one of those areas. And through the kind of work that I do, I'm a tax advisor. An opportunity came up, and Ireland is kind of, whether rightly or wrongly, kind of known in the sort of tax world as a bit of a location, and there's a market here for what I do, and unfortunately we were able to get an opportunity to come across, and that's basically what brought us across.
Wow, that's really, really cool. Quite fortunate. Now, of course, I have to hear from Meg's side of the story. Now, Meg, did you just go with this? You're there and everything. And how long have you been here so far?
We moved over the end of 2016, so we've been here about 18 months.
You also have a website called This Is Us Living. It's really cool. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but you have a lot of interesting things about, you mentioned about, well, living a minimalist lifestyle abroad, from traveling with your little fur baby Jack there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, which is really, really cool. Were there any type of special preparation you did to get yourself ready for the trip, whether physically or mentally?
I think Rob and I kind of wing it a lot. I'd like to think that I'm the planner out of the two of us. So I did a lot of research, and Rob did a lot of research in terms of whether we were going to have job opportunities. But I think my focus is more on was Jack going to be able to come over without quarantine, because he's part of our family, and I didn't want to interrupt his little life. And then we just kind of jumped in head first. And it's probably a good time to speak to us, because 18 months in, if you'd spoken to us in the first 3 to 6 months, we would have been like, oh my God, this is so hectic. But 18 months in, we're kind of finding our feet a bit and really enjoying it. But it's a process. Not many people really realize how tough it is to move to another country.
I think we're maybe, in hindsight, maybe a little bit naive as to sort of how much it actually did entail. When the job opportunity came up, I remember signing the contract, and then we thought, cool, let's just go, and we'll sell all our stuff, and you know, we can do that like in a weekend, and that'll be fine, mm-hmm. and we'll just arrive, and everything will just sort of fall into place. And I don't think we sort of appreciated how many different sort of pieces of the puzzle you have to sort of put together. We did make a conscious decision that we thought it just logistically it'd be easier if we kind of we sold up like 90% of our house. We like sold our cars. We basically sort of trimmed down this sort of entire life that we had built up in South Africa, and kind of literally kind of came over with a couple of bags of clothes, and we shipped like a couple of boxes, but small boxes of bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. So we sort of approached it that way of kind of throwing everything out, mm-hmm. which definitely has its sort of pros and cons. I think we found, and that in a way almost kind of spurred on our sort of kind of discovering minimalist living, because we didn't really plan to like kind of throw everything away, but we just kind of ended up doing that.
Well, okay, talk about the pros and talk about the cons. Mention at least one from each side, so our listeners can have a feeling of what you have gone through.
I think the pros are you get to start over. So we got to really cut down our materialist sort of mindset of having all the things meant you were doing well. And I think that fresh start, you can kind of start a new persona. And I think the con is you do miss your family, and you miss your friends and the people that know you, and you're kind of like your mid-30s trying to start making friends again, and you're not going to school, and you know, you're married and you kind of don't have kids. We don't really fit into a lot of circles here in Ireland, so it's hard. I think it's hard to make connections.
Wow.
Yeah, there's this prior life that you just shed, and with that goes sort of in some respects it gives you a nice opportunity to kind of pause and reflect and kind of say, well, if I'm rebuilding a new life, how would I like that to look? But then also there's just the difficulties of, you know, having to build that new life and make new friends and make new connections, yeah. and do all of that. So yeah, it's a complex sort of thing. You know, there's really great aspects to it, and there's aspects that can be difficult.
Mm-hmm. What you say? It feels, you said shed. Is this like shedding a piece of dead skin, or shedding like a shell?
Yeah, I think I'd say a shell, and I don't mean sort of shedding things in a sort of negative sense. It's a rare opportunity, I'd say, in life that where you get to sort of fully kind of pause one life that you had and kind of start another one.
Mm-hmm.
And just moving countries just creates the framework for you to do that. And so, so whether there's good and bad things all wrapped up into that, and just by virtue of moving a country, it just sort of happens. You know, you almost don't really have a choice in it, I'd say.
Right, right. Well, you know, no matter where we go to another neighborhood, another state or province or prefecture in a country, there's always differences. When you got to Ireland, what intrigued you the most, whether, you know, when you first landed there? Because, you know, okay, English is somewhat useful there, but what intrigued you the most when you got there, in any shocking ways or hysterical ways or what?
I think the big things for us are, we're coming from South Africa, is just the change of seasons. We arrived sort of in the fall and got our first winter, a wintry Christmas is so novel to us. We're usually swimming in the pool on Christmas Day, and here you're kind of bundling up. Mm-hmm. So the weather was a real treat, and the use of public transport is also something that's not really what it's called. South Africa is just okay, they don't have a lot of buses and trains and things like that. So just being able to like hop into a train and go to a different place was just like, it was honestly, we were like kids just really enjoying public transport, and the weather, I think, would be the two.
Yeah, it's a bit weird because, you know, Ireland isn't really known for its weather, you know. But it's even in the summer months, you get these really nice long days where the sun will kind of set like late into sort of half past 10, 11 o'clock in the evening. So when during summer, you'd really get these absolutely cracking days that are brilliant. It's rare when you get them, but when you get them, they're an absolute treat. And I think, just when we first got off the plane, Johannesburg, which is where the city that we were coming from in South Africa, it's a big city. It's kind of, I'd almost say it's almost kind of like a big sort of urban sprawl. There's lots of sort of freeways and bypasses, and you have to have a car to move around in Johannesburg. Whereas here in Dublin, it's this tiny little place that's sort of it's very compact. So in that respect, it was a very different change to sort of living in a city for us, where we're in a much smaller house than what we were used to. Mm-hmm. And everyone's kind of all on top of each other, which it was just a different urban environment to sort of navigate your way around.
You know, it's very interesting of doing this podcast. You know, a lot of the times, I would say most of the times, I present living overseas, whether it's as an expat, an immigrant, or a migrant, in such positive life. You know, no matter where we go, we still have to survive. We still have to work. We still have to do the normal things normal people do back in our home nation. What hard adjustments? Yeah. I'm going to start with the hard adjustments first. What hard adjustments did you have once you got there, especially when you first got there?
I think that's actually one of the reasons why I started the blog was there wasn't a lot of information in terms of, I think most people do think when you move to a new country, you're like, oh my God, you're so close to Europe. You can travel, you can do all these holidays, and they think of holiday. They don't think of living. They don't think of paying bills and getting a job. So I think that the biggest learning curve is just understanding the system and understanding the paperwork and the sort of the admin behind being able to live here is one of the things that nobody talks about, the boring stuff.
Right, yeah.
You know, what work permit do you need? Do you need a visa to be able to live in the country? How easy is it to, as an expat, to get a job? You know, those kinds of things don't get talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, certainly building on that, like, I mean, just one little case of point is that there's a long reason behind this, but there's a bit of a housing shortage in Dublin.
Oh.
And it's actually quite difficult to one, find a place to rent, and two, because we were traveling with a dog, it's even more difficult to find a place to rent. So when we first arrived, that was like one of the biggest sort of issues that we had to face was trying to figure out how to find a place to rent where our landlord would be happy with a dog, and that was like its own little sort of a little trial within itself. And when you come over, you know, I had like a maybe like a little bit of an idea that trying to find a place to rent in Dublin is difficult, but once you hear, like, with boots on the ground, so to speak, it was just like I really then kind of fully got up to speed with like how difficult it is to find a place to rent.
We sound so negative.
Yeah. Well, we really don't mean that.
There's things you have to face. You have the things you have to face when you move abroad. Four Seas, One Family. The place where people learn that they have a lot more in common than they think. Download our podcast app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. And please subscribe to keep up with our latest episodes. Thank you for listening to Four Seas, One Family. I want to talk a little bit, something that is specific then to moving to Ireland with the little fur baby Jack there. What specific things you had to face when you were traveling with little Jack there?
That was probably one of the easiest things is Ireland isn't a quarantine period when you bring a pet over to Ireland. There's a few things you just need to line up before you can get him over, but in simple terms, it's he gets on a plane, he gets off a plane, and he comes home straight away. So that makes it a lot easier. Cool. There's a few requirements because we were coming from a country that has rabies, that he had to be vaccinated, and that needed to be checked. But other than that, he had it easy. He like had a first class flight over. he was fine.
Yeah, I think just to add on that, we made use of a pet courier company, and they were brilliant in what they did, and that took a lot of stress off the table for us.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, I certainly won't say it was a relatively like, you know, we love that little guy, and it was a relatively stressful period because I remember Megs went to go drop him off with the courier company in Johannesburg, and she said goodbye, and then he kind of just disappeared for a week, and then the next thing we're going down to Dublin Airport to go pick him up in a box, and you know he kind of had this week of like we just don't know where he was or what he got up to, and when he came out of the box on the other side he was really happy, and you could see he'd been well looked after, but you kind of go through this week of just like, it's almost like if you just said goodbye to your, you know, kid for like a week, and then
going
just had
to college.
Like no way of like, like had no way of knowing where they were, what they were getting up to, if they were right. But yeah, in hindsight, the courier company were really brilliant.
Yeah, they're professionals, you know. Let's talk a little bit about Just talk a little bit about socializing there. I mean, how do you find, you know, you're coming from South Africa, you know, besides the temperature, because I know it rains there a lot. But, you know, how are you integrating with the locals there and stuff like that? You know, what kind of recreational things you do there, things that help you stay focused and engage more with the community? Because, you know, going overseas, living outside your country, if you're not able to integrate in some kind of way, things can get quite rough.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's helpful to have the blog because I've had a lot of people sort of contact me and say, hey, we've just moved over or we're in the same sort of situation. So that's kind of helped connect us. Social media is great. I've been known to sort of find people on Instagram and kind of go, hey, you're in Dublin, I'm in Dublin, let's be friends. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of helped. I didn't realize how many South Africans were living here until we moved over. They come out of the woodwork, which is nice. But I think Rob and I are really interested in making friends that are Irish. You know, we want to make friends with the locals. Work definitely helps. We're lucky to be in teams that have the Irish have very similar sense of humor to South Africans. They're also big into rugby, so there's a lot of common things that you can chat about. I think we've mainly made friends through, I would say, social media and my blog. It's a slow process. It's not like a instant thing.
How involved is Rob on the blog?
Not really.
I'm an Insta husband.
He's an Insta husband. He takes the photos.
Oh, okay. He's the guy in the background. Yeah. He's the background singer.
I think it's discussions we've always had together, and then I kind of articulate them on the blog. there are, like, we have chatted about him talking, you know, him writing some articles or something like that. But he's the nerd, so he sort of focuses on lots of the detail, where I just kind of streamline it a bit.
Look, I think it's sort of important that the blog, I think, actually really sort of encapsulates our life together.
Yeah.
And it's both of us kind of doing these things and going through these through this experience that we're going through. I'd say Megs is actually she's the one who's actually just sort of like journaling it and capturing it, and she really does that well. I'd like to feel that it really is actually a reflection of the two of us together and how we live our life, and yeah. It accurately reflects like both our sort of points of view to life.
Okay, well, simply, let's see. Meg is the lead singer and Rob is the background singer. Okay, I got it. So what do you guys do while they're, you know, to have fun? And, you know, do you travel around the, you know, neighboring countries and stuff like that? What do you guys do to, you know, relax? Because, you know, you need that sometimes, right?
Yeah. We've actually been, this last month has been super busy for us. We've done quite a bit of traveling. But Rob and I love to walk, and we love hiking and getting outside. And so we've done quite a bit of walk. I think we can safely say we've walked a lot of Dublin. And I like sort of being outside and seeing things without paying a lot of money for it. So okay. We kind of focus on a lot of free things to do in Dublin. Because it's just, for us, it's more about being there than paying to, I don't know, to do something. We've done one big road trip with Jack, which was really a lot of fun. The whole family in a car driving across country to the west coast of Ireland. Mm. And that was a lot of fun. We've seen quite a bit of Ireland. Actually, if you speak to people at work, they're always so surprised. We always kind of choose something every weekend to do or see. And people in Ireland, yeah, I think it's the same at home, you know. When you're living in your own city, you kind of stick to your regular thing. You don't really expand or try new things. So now that we're here, we're trying to make the most of it and see everything.
Cool.
Yeah, I think one thing we didn't actually fully appreciate when we came over, we thought, cool, Ireland's close to Europe and it's obviously right next door to the UK, and we can also possibly like pop over to Canada and the States and all of that. But we didn't actually realize how much there is to actually explore on the island of Ireland. Yeah. Itself. There's and everywhere where we've gone, we little towns and villages that we've gone to, we go there and then we keep kind of realizing, oh, hang on, there's actually something just around the corner, or someone will tell us, oh no, you must go to like this place just over the hill there. And the more we explore this island, the more we actually realize that there's so much stuff to do and see here. Yeah. just on the island itself. So I think we're trying to strike more of an even balance of exploring both what's literally on our doorstep as well as kind of what's available to us in terms of international travel as well.
Yeah. Well, on the topic of socializing then, what kind of questions you get from locals about where you come from, you know? And, you know, be honest with this, because, you know, a lot of people, when they meet you, you know, they're curious, and so are you curious about them. That's healthy. But do you get any specific questions that kind of like make your eyes dilate when people ask you or what? How do you handle that? Because it happens.
Yeah. I think we kind of did a similar move within South Africa. We moved from a small beach town to the big city. And when we did that move, we had a lot of people going, why would you leave such a beautiful beach town? Why would you? You know, that sounded amazing. And I think we've got the same thing here. A lot of Irish people are like, why would you move from, you know, a country that has such great weather to here where it rains all the time? We get a lot of those kinds of questions. There's a lot of questions about what's happening in South Africa politically, and sort of it is kind of I don't know how to say this. There's a lot of people that move out of South Africa for reasons that are different to our own.
Right.
They would move over, you know, because they feel unsafe or because, you know, they feel like it would be better for their families. Whereas we try very hard not to stick to that. We don't want to be sort of painted with that brush.
Right.
We love South Africa. I like to talk about South Africa. I could talk about South Africa. That's like a whole different podcast we need to have for that. I think it's a beautiful country. And I think, we've got beautiful people and it's just so diverse, and just trying to slowly talk about that. I'm having a few people kind of ask me, saying, we're really keen to go on holiday to South Africa. Can you suggest where we should go and what we should do? And that's great. I think that's awesome. We never left South Africa for any negative reasons. We left because we wanted to explore. But I think the idea is that we may go back. We don't know.
Like, right.
We're winging
right.
it.
I'd say like all credit to the Irish is that I'm always surprised by the amount of Irish people who I meet, and when they discover that we're from South Africa, they'll say, oh, we've been there.
Yeah.
And a lot of Irish people have traveled to South Africa, and they kind of relative to other international people that we've met, they're a lot more clued up on the country and its background and the sort of the context of where the country finds itself. I would say just possibly one thing which I'll always kind of bang on this drum about is that we're from Johannesburg, and Johannesburg, I think outside of South Africa, has this reputation of being sort of quite kind of crime ridden.
Mm-hmm.
And look, that it's a difficult thing because that you do get crime there, but it's not always as bad as what I think people think it is, and so we always try to be sort of very careful to be sort of good ambassadors for the country and for Johannesburg in particular, to say, no, look, it's actually a wonderful country. It's a safe place. If you just be, you know, reasonably vigilant, you'll be 100% fine. And it doesn't have this taint of what people actually think it does. So yeah, I mean, that's probably maybe like the one thing, like we try kind of clear up people's perceptions of the place about.
Thank you for joining us here at Four Seas One Family. Help us get the word out by sharing and subscribing to our podcast in your preferred podcatcher. And download our podcast app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Remember, we are Four Seas, One Family. Are there anything that you learned from dealing with the locals that would stick with you for a long time? Like any specific habits that you picked up that you probably would, you know, continue in your life?
Sure. I think that's quite a difficult question. Like I'd say one maybe habit that we've picked up since we've come here is we quite like going to the pub. and it's a bit of a weird thing because an Irish pub is actually it's an amazing little thing, and I think outside of Ireland, if you say like pub or bar, you kind of just think, oh, that's a place where they kind of like, you know, typically like old dirty men just kind of go and just drink away in like a dark corner somewhere. But the Irish pub is really kind of a little meeting point of the community, and you get sort of all types and shades and colors of the community meet and congregate in there. From there's more emphasis on the family in a pub, and so it's like previously if it was a Friday evening, like Megs and I would never say, oh, let's go to a pub or a bar. You know, whereas here we actually quite like going to like our local and just popping in, and it is It has a totally different vibe to it. It's very welcoming, open. It's not a place where you necessarily just have to go there and smash drinks and you know get drunk kind of thing.
That's not something that we would be able to do back home.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes. It's you know, it's like a pub here is totally different to a pub that we'll, or pub or a bar that we'll know back.
Would you say it's more like a community center?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like.
There's family. Like, there, you know, it's not like you can, the pub here is like, you can get food. You could order a cup of tea at the bar. They'd serve you a glass of milk. You know, it's not necessarily alcohol. You often find families going into the pub that maybe watch sport or, you know, grab a meal or something like that here. I think the one thing that I would take back home is that this attitude that just because the weather is bad doesn't necessarily mean you have to stay at home. South Africans are one cloud in the sky and you're like, oh, cancel the plans. It doesn't look like it's going to be a great day. Whereas Irish, you know, they have to kind of get on with life. Doesn't matter what the weather is like. They'll still go out. They'll still walk the dog. They'll still socialize outside. Doesn't really affect them as much. So I would like to think that living here, we've kind of adapted to that kind of way of thinking, and that if we were to go home, we would sort of carry on that attitude.
And I'd maybe say like one other thing that I've sort of picked up here relative to a city like Johannesburg, which actually is quite sort of unequal in terms of its in terms of how people live. Like Johannesburg is a kind of place where you can see like a Ferrari and someone driving a Lamborghini on the road, and whilst next to, you know, there'll be someone at the street lights like begging for food kind of thing. There's a very big difference between like incomes and sort of how people live. And I'd say here in Ireland, there's maybe a little bit more sort of like people a little bit more kind of balanced, and there's a little bit less sort of if you come from the wrong side of the tracks, like people won't hold that against you. And right. If you kind of come from sort of, you know, money or wealth, people don't necessarily, you know, they won't kind of hold that against you, or they won't kind of all put you on a pedestal. There's a lot, the society has a lot more equal, and I kind of think people just treat you for who you are and sort of the content of your character. Whereas it's maybe a bit of a derivative point, but it's subtle, and until you've experienced it, it's something that has certainly opened my eyes being here.
I can feel that your experiences has touched you guys in a special way. Living in Ireland or living outside your home nation in general, how would you say your experience has changed you? How would you say it has changed you? Would it cause you to think more within yourself, or what? Did it really change you, your experience living overseas?
I think it's something that, and if you're fortunate to be able to do, I think I would always say go for it. I think it opens your eyes to different people have different ways of thinking and doing. And it makes you a bit more alive to the fact that you're not, I don't know, back home you're in a little bubble, and it's safe because you know it's the only thing you know. And when you sort of venture out, you realize that there are people miles away from your home that are living completely different ways of, and they might have actually better ways of doing things. I think this experience has taught us anything, is it's just, you know, it's resilience, and it's understanding and realizing that, you know, we might have a way of thinking or doing that is different to here. It's like, getting that balance right, I think.
Yeah, you face all these different new experiences, and some of those experiences are amazing and some of those experiences are quite tough. But through facing those tough experiences, you do a lot of growing, sort of adapting or dealing and confronting those difficult experiences. And So, you know, in many respects, this kind of ranges from sort of just our sort of maybe outlook on life through to some very practical things as to, you know, how we kind of deal with finances. It's forced us to kind of really kind of get to grips with like how we dealt with like money and dealing with finances and all of that kind of thing. It's forced us to kind of look at, you know, what we, you know, our material possessions, what do we own, what and through kind of, you know, you losing all of that and then like reacquiring it, it sort of makes you question like, well, what do you value? And it's honestly, it's almost something that, you know, I can say these words, but until you've experienced it and gone through it, it's your own unique special experience. Right. And it's something that we, I think we've grown a hell of a lot through doing it. And our sort of perceptions and our sort of way of living, you know, sort of 2 years ago has kind of fundamentally shifted in totality. I mean, like, you know, the idea of minimalism was maybe something that we would have been like, oh, that sounds like a trendy thing to do, but meh. But like now, I don't know. It's forced us to kind of really say like what do you value and how do you spend your time and who do you spend it with and who and what is important to you, and it's forced us to sort of really focus in on what is important to us.
Well, your comment actually is a good lead into something I want to talk about, and it's going back to the website. I mean, there's all kinds of topics there, like I mentioned a little bit, you know, how to travel with the little fur baby there. And can you talk a little bit, Meg, about some of the special things you've learned from, you know, running your website and sharing your experience with others?
So I think the big thing that I think that the hot topic on my blog, aside from how to move overseas and how to move to Ireland, is how are you living with only 30 items of clothing? That's a big question that people seem to ask. Because when we moved over, I came over with 2 suitcases of clothes and of possessions, and kind of broke it down to even further to less clothing. So I've kind of gone to this capsule wardrobe, which is also quite a trendy hot topic at the moment, but it works for me. And most people are like, how is that possible? How do you only have that, like, you know, so few clothes, and yet you always look different. You're never wearing the same outfit. So I think I think that is one of the things, that being able to, when you move overseas, you kind of have to be kind of picky about what you want to take over, because you can't bring everything over, and you start looking at it in a different light to like, have I worn this? You know, do I even like wearing this? Does it even fit me? And that's one thing that I sort of experienced sort of early on when we first moved over, that I needed to share. But it always baffles people.
How about you, Rob?
I think one thing that just, you know, by virtue of how Meg's goes about sort of putting stuff onto the site, I think what I've really appreciated is there's always something to do on your back doorstep if you have just a little bit of creativity or a little bit of having a spirit of wanting to like discover new things, you can, there's always something that you can find on your back doorstep that's actually doesn't necessarily have to cost you an arm and a leg, that will be a fun day out of the house, and that will give you an opportunity to either learn something new or meet new people or see something that you never knew about. It doesn't take too much effort to go find those things. And that's something that I've really enjoyed with what Meg's like does with the website, and it kind of, because it drives us to go outside and to go find these things and go do some exploring. And I've really enjoyed that.
You know, one of the keys, little sentence, there's one specific sentence on the website that really rung a bell with me. It's called having less, living more. And that was quite touching to me because getting rid of stuff that kind of holds you down can be quite an unneeded mental load. And, you know, it could be tough. You know, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day and connecting with us here at Four Seas One Family. I always end the show with the same question, and that is, if someone is thinking about taking that overseas journey, taking the step outside their familiar corner of the world, what advice would you, based on what you have gone through, what advice would you two give to a person like that, or even to a person who is already outside their home nation and may not be having the best of times? What advice would you give to people in that situation?
I think I would say go with an open mind and your mental attitude about everything is everything. If you go in expecting the worst, 9 times out of 10, the worst will happen to you. But if you kind of go with a positive attitude and patience and maybe a little bit more research than we did, you're going to do well. And I think go for it. There's nothing holding you back. If it doesn't work out, you can always go home. And I would say just go in with an open mind and don't try and recreate what you had back home. Try something new. Try and fit into a new your new life the way locals are living their lives, instead of trying to force fit how you did something back home.
Okay, Rob, the background singer now. It's your turn.
I'd definitely say, I fully agree with everything that Meg's said there. And I'd say to people that you are tougher than what you think you are. And you go through days where, tough things will happen to you, and it'll feel like you're being kicked in the teeth, and sometimes it'll just feel like there's a constant little rain cloud over your head and it's just always raining on you. But through going through these those sorts of days and through getting through them and through just trying your best, you realize that you are tougher than what you think you are. And I we definitely think the great experiences that we've had and the really sort of awesome times have been tremendous. They far outweigh the bad. Mm-hmm. But then even once you've gone through the bad, and I think once you kind of get through the other side and you reflect on it, you'll also realize, those bad things were actually good for me. I grew through that process, and now I'm actually a better person on the other side for it. So it's almost sort of like a win-win sort of a situation if you approach it with the right mindset.
If you look at everything as a lesson, you know, the hard experiences is just another lesson and part of the tuition in life you need to pay to move along and hopefully make a better impact on yourself and other people as well. So guys, I really thank you very much for spending the time here. And I'm going to shoot the last question over to the technical side of the family there. That's Meg. Okay. So tell people, you know, how to find you, because we already know the website. This is usliving.com. How else people can find you if they have any questions about living abroad?
So I get a lot of emails, and you can definitely email me, meg@thisisusliving.com. I respond to every single email that I get, every question that I get about moving overseas. And you can check me out on social media. All the social media handles are on my website. I'm open to making friends, and give me a call.
Yeah, it's great. Because you have your Instagram is this is us_living. Twitter is the same thing. This is us_living. And Facebook, we just look up this is us living. Thank you very much, guys. And look, I'll come back and contact you guys 6 months from now, and you'll see what your story will be like then, okay?
Yeah, it's great.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us here at Four Seas, One Family.